Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And the dollar, is it going to die? What's going to happen to tokenization? Space mining with $100 quadrillion dollars of goods, and I'm not making that up. I learned before we came on the show, that's 15 zeros. This is what we're going to explore today with our guest, Colin Plume, who's the CEO of Noble Gold. Colin, welcome back to the show. These are some interesting topics.
Yeah, well, I think space mining, ocean mining is always the thing that people are concerned about when they get into precious metals. They wonder if there's just going to be this massive hoard that floods the market and would potentially, drop the price of a lot of the precious metals down. So I, always see these things happening. But this asteroid 16, Psyche, they call it, has, they believe, 100,000 quadrillion worth of metals, including gold, platinum, nickel. It would dwarf the entire global economy by millions of times. And so it's, I mean, it's, it would dwarf every stock market, all real estate, everything, everything that we hold would be worth next to nothing relative to this. But I wonder, it's all relative in that if you have flooded the market with this much metal, like the price would go down, obviously. So I don't know if it's all accurate in terms of what they're saying. What are your thoughts on this?
I wondered about oversupply. But the other thing is too, is I don't think they're ever going to get those goods to come to Earth unless we develop a vertical takeoff craft that can ascend into space and then come back, make it with and through with a heat shield and land like a jet airliner. And the amount of weight, gold's heavy.
Yeah.
A lot of these minerals are heavy. So your plane would have to be enormous. And I think different forms of propulsion will be necessary. Now, I just laid out an obstacle. Doesn't mean that it can't be overcome.
Sure. Yeah. And listen, they even say, mining technology, they said, is like a 3 to 5. They said they need to get to, a 6, 7, 8 in terms of the scale to be able to actually, go up to this asteroid and pull these precious metals out, which they say could be 20, 30 years. My gut is, it's going to be much longer than that. But I did think it was interesting that this was available. It was an idea. We're always looking at different things because obviously they're talking a lot about different ways of mining. But at the end of the day, based on what we know and what's happening today, gold production goes up about 1% in terms of all the gold above ground. It goes up about 1% per year. So we're still in a limited supply item. And I think that's what a lot of people should know. The takeaway from this is that people think because there's mining all over the world that there's a massive amount coming out of the ground, but there's really not 1%. I mean, if our dollar was only produced by more than 1% per year, we would all be much wealthier. We'd be much happier, I think. That was the idea of the gold standard, right? A limited supply of our fiat money. And so, I think the takeaway from this is that, listen, there is technology in the much farther future. But at the end of the day, precious metals are still going to be precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, still hard to mine, even though there's this exciting technology that they think is, by the way, they haven't proven that they can do it. They just said it's possible in the next 10 to 20 years. But that's a pretty far time away from where we are today.
Yeah, you just have to wonder, too. I'm not sure outside of Earth's orbit how fast an asteroid is moving, but it's moving.
Yeah.
So you really got to extract that on a, it's kind of like shooting at a moving target that's going really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And then, obviously the thing that I think is interesting, Peter Thiel, these tech titans coming up with this $2 billion stable coin called Erebor or Erebor. They want to demolish traditional banking. They're already valued at $2 billion. And this is something that I've said about crypto, that is that these kind of ideas would make crypto more viable, but I do think there's significant issues that, raising money for companies. And we've seen that, we saw this with in the crypto business before. We've seen this with these, what were those art projects that were called? The NFTs. We saw a similar idea, right? People paid all these money for these NFTs. They thought they were going to be valuable, and then they went down to zero. So there's a lot of hubbub about this Erebor, and basically the idea was that they could, banks would be obsolete. You would go to an institution like, Erebor, you'd present them your business idea, and they'd be able to go out to their demographic and be able to raise money independently for your project, which, I think is an interesting idea. However, the one thing that it doesn't think about is that who's going to do the due diligence on that company? I mean, how many fly-by-night companies are there out there? And there's no due diligence, there's no none of this that's going to protect you. And also, there's a thing called an accredited investor that was created to protect investors. They allow certain investors that have a higher net worth to take on more risk because they have more to lose, right? This would change all that. You could just invest anything, any dollar amount, into a venture through a stable coin. And I think for a lot of people that have lost money in these kind of ventures, I think it could be pretty scary that, we would cut out a regulatory body to protect investors. And as much as people don't like regulation, and I get it, there is some upside in having a party when a company is doing an IPO, right? Like, they have to look at the company, and there's all these eyeballs on a company when they raise money. And yes, you could lose money in an IPO, and you can lose money in those, but at least before it's released, there is people that are looking at the numbers, looking at their balance sheets, looking at their P&Ls, all the things that an everyday investor don't have the time to do. So it's an interesting idea, this Erebor, but I don't know. I feel like there's definitely there's some pitfalls there.
Yeah, but there's a reason why Trump brought Peter Thiel on as an advisor. I don't think we can ignore the possibility. I have concerns about it because if you look at, and this is not conspiracy theory stuff, this is on the website of many cities in America right now, the 15-minute cities and all the things that they want to control. And if they control digital currency and it's centrally based, they can control you. There's even talk that they could take your money and invest in a company that needs to have a boost without your permission. And this is stuff that's all in writing, in the 15-minute city concepts. And digital currency is at the heart of it. That's what makes it, well, social credit, digital currency is what makes it work. Are you concerned about that too?
Absolutely. No, and these kind of ideas, these CBDC ideas, it's really just fiat in another form, right? If it's controlled by the government, it's just another form of fiat that can be manipulated. And I think that's the scary part about it, is they found, like, let's make the banks the enemy, which, again, nobody likes the banks, and it's not the greatest system. But ultimately, when you look at the control of debt and money moving from banks to a stable coin or a different entity, and then there's no person that's watching it. And listen, there's a lot of hype on these things. I mean, already this Erebor has a $2 billion valuation. For what? What have they done? They don't have any business that they're currently running. They don't have any profits. It's just based on the hype of this idea. So it's concerning that these tech billionaires could potentially control a way of money being moved. And I get it. I think Trump, when he hires people on, sometimes you want to keep people close to you, even if you don't necessarily know if they're your ally. And I think a big part of what his strategy is, he wants to stay close to these tech giants, because he wants to make sure that the American people are protected. He wants to know what they're doing. He wants to keep an eye on them. But the you know this kind of stable coin idea with no regulation, bypassing any regulatory body, I think could be pretty detrimental to investors if there's no type of oversight for what they're investing into.
Yeah, I'm seeing that Erebor too has achieved a $2 billion valuation even before opening.
Right.
Does that guarantee it's going to happen?
No. I don't think there's any guarantee that. But Peter Thiel he's one of these guys and knows how to get out there and really push an agenda forward. And obviously, through PayPal, made a tremendous fortune. Also through his backdoor IRA, his famous backdoor IRA, where he made billions of dollars tax free, which is a loophole that they got rid of. Basically, he put in his PayPal shares at pennies in a Roth IRA, protected them, and now they're worth his Roth IRA, they think is worth 6 or 7 billion, independent of the other wealth that he has. So, I mean, he can absolutely push this agenda forward, either by himself or, through people that he's raising money for. And it's interesting because Peter Thiel is an interesting guy because he talks a lot about gold and silver too, and he's a proponent of gold and silver. But I think it's another way, these stable coins are another fancy way to create another fiat, right? They're not backed by anything. There's no limited supply. So how is a stable coin any different than any kind of fiat?
Yes.
I don't see how it's any different. So
Let me read this to you from our notes. Dark Enlightenment philosophy. This really got my attention. It says that the venture is connected to the Dark Enlightenment movement that calls for replacing democracy with AI-powered corporate monarchy,
yeah.
where such tech CEOs would run government like heavily armed, ultra-profitable corporations. This includes policies to abolish traditional institution. This goes on and on. It's just basically omniscience through software, and they have complete control over everything. That's what, in a sense, more specific definition of what
Yeah.
I was telling I object to with this.
Yeah. And in essence, we're just creating a new way to have fiat money, right? At the end of the day, it's just moving it from the banking institution, which Peter Thiel doesn't have an ownership in, to another institution through AI and technology that would be able to control things. So it is, these kind of things are concerning, I think, long term, as an investor that, is looking to make sure you make the correct decisions when you're investing in something. You want to have all that data available to you. And I just don't know if these stable coins are going to allow that. I think that's a fancy name, it's a fancy idea. And at the end of the day, it's another form of CBDC, which President Trump has said that he's not a fan of. So we got to be careful here that we're just not creating a new name for something. And listen, there's ways that, companies and businesses can get money. There's independent ways. There's a company, I don't know if you know this company, it's called Lending Club. Lending Club is a way that, property owners or business owners can get loans directly from people like me. And I have an account with them. I've had it for many years. You can put money in and they tell you what the investment is, and you can decide if you want to loan that either that person, that individual, or that business money. So there is ways to raise money outside of the traditional banking system. A lot of these places have been around for a long time. I just think the banks have been this, like, obviously we hate the banks, we don't want the banks, they're controlled, but at the end of the day, there is some regulation there that does protect people. And those are things that we do need to make sure that they're in place, especially with all the cybercrime that's happening today. I mean, the amount of cybercrime that's out there, the amount of wealth that's being moved for cyber, we need to have parties that are protecting people and making sure they're getting into the right thing. So there's a lot of elements of this, but yeah, the idea that these tech giants, are going to take over and that they're going to run the financial system and they're going to be these, like, all good to the people kind of parties. I mean, these are billionaires. They became billionaires because of a certain reason. So it does concern me. Yeah, and listen, I think that we have a lot happening in our economy right now. We have a lot of moving pieces over the summer here. I mean, I think that you saw silver really start to take off,
Yeah.
gold's kind of holding firm, And I think that getting back to digital, getting away from digital and moving into physical assets is really something that, has got lost a little bit because of, what's happening with the tariffs, what's happening with the trade wars, what's happening with the stock market. But at the end of the day, the math is this: the government spends $2 trillion more than what we bring in. That's not going anywhere. The big, beautiful bill will increase that. There's going to be more debt. Yes, we could grow more. It'll put more money in people's pockets, but ultimately, the government's going to have more debt after this bill. They think it could get to $3 to $5 trillion a year in terms of the debt. So that is something that people need to keep in mind, is as much as this tax bill will put more money in your pocket, ultimately the government, which we're all a part of, the debt's all ours, is becoming more debt driven, and we are having higher debt for a better life.
Absolutely. I was on John B. Wells' show a couple of days ago, and John asked me the question. He said, "Dave, why don't we just wipe out the debt and not pay it and start over?" What would your answer be to that?
Well, we have creditors. We have creditors like
Yeah.
China. We have creditors like all the people that owned our bonds. I mean, they're not going to be happy with us, just going ahead and wiping. And they're going to go to the international court and say, "Well, we need to get repaid." So how do you repay us? Do you repay us in real estate? Do you repay us in businesses? How do we're owed this money? And we've seen that happen before. They tried to do that in Argentina, and there was hedge funds that owned that debt, and the hedge fund said, "Okay, well, if you don't want to pay it, then what do we own? What do we own in your country?" And I think at the end of the day, like, just this idea of us being able to default and not having any consequences is not true. The other thing is our dollar would just literally drop like a rock. So, the value of our buying, what we have, all the cash that people have would fall off a cliff, and it'd be just absolute pandemonium. I think the idea that, we have debt, we're paying some of it back, we're paying at least the interest, right? We're paying the interest on the debt, keeps the world in order. But if the biggest economy in the world just said, "Forget it, and we're not going to pay," I think it would be absolute chaos. And I think in that kind of scenario, with the dollar dropping, the dollar has been dropping precipitously this year. But if you saw us just say, "We're not going to pay," you're looking at potentially gold 30, 40, $50,000 an ounce. I mean, that wouldn't make,
Yeah,
because
Doug Casey's saying that.
Doug Casey says, $30, $40,000 an ounce is realistic. And I think the perfect storm for metals is going to happen this year, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to cut interest rates 50 basis points this year, maybe 75. They're going to find a way to stimulate, home buyership, and they're going to try to get more money out for businesses. And then next year in February, President Trump is going to put somebody in office that is going to be more aggressive. They're going to continue to push rates down, which is going to basically send a signal to the world that, the dollar is going to be worth less. Buy our goods will be cheaper, the dollar will fall in value, and we're just going to put all this free money out there. We're just going to spend like crazy, and we'll basically go, I don't know if it'll be a hyperinflation, full hyperinflation scenario, but I do think we will see tangible assets go up precipitously when those things happen. It'll be something that we've never seen, and I think that, yes, the markets will go crazy. Real estate will pick up, but ultimately it means that our dollar is going to continue to lose value. Our debt's going to go up in this country, so it's a pro and con, I would say. But ultimately, I think tangible investments will do very well.
That drop of the dollar, is that what Doug Casey's referring to for the increase in gold?
It's partly that. I mean, and listen, with this tariff situation, having a drop in a dollar in our dollar, which means our goods are cheaper overseas, also helps companies too, right? I mean, it's a double-edged sword in terms of, yes, it creates more debt for us. It's not great for us as a country, but also for companies that are making goods and shipping them, or products, shipping them overseas, it makes them less expensive. So it makes the tariff not as detrimental in terms of the pricing strategy that President Trump is, and he believes the offset will be there, that we'll sell more goods overseas, we'll bring more manufacturing here, we'll make more things here, the dollar drops, our goods are cheaper. So if there's a 10 or 15, 20% tariff on that country, it won't feel as onerous as it is, and as expensive as it is today.
As people continue to see the light and acquire precious metals, and you talked about people being able to lend money directly, do you think that a lot of Americans will become their own bank?
How do you mean?
In other words, I'm not involved in the Federal Reserve. I don't have anything in the banks.
Oh, I see.
I do everything in-house. I use enough cash to get by in
Right.
society, but I'm dealing in precious metals. And
Yeah.
I can do loans like what you talked about with private people, but everything they do is backed by gold and silver.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we have a lot of clients that are just heavily in gold and silver. They just keep enough cash as necessary. And you know, I think the one thing that I've found since I've been doing this for 16 years is that the thing that shifted a lot was that people would be like, well, there's no dividend in gold. And they would talk about that. But we've seen multiple years of over 20% returns. So, you know, if you would you rather get a dividend in a company, you know, some of the big ones pay 2-3%, let's say the safe ones,
I know.
or you get a 20% return and maybe every year you liquidate a little bit of gold to live because you need that money. That's a much better return, you know, sort of long term. So I think we are seeing people live off their gold in a different way than I've ever seen in the past. You know, stockpiling it and then just kind of looking at their portfolio and deciding what makes sense to liquidate in any given year. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, like we're at the beginning of this bull run. Gold's been sitting in the, you know, $3,200 range. Silver's in the $36 range. We're just starting to th see things take off. My prediction for silver is that we break through 40 this year, which I think will happen. That'll be a significant gain from January 1 on silver too. But yeah, I think ultimately, like having some less in cash and having some assets that can really go up. And I think that you need to make, you know, 10, 12, 15% based on inflation. You need to make those kind of returns. So the 4% the banks are giving or the 3.5%, it's just really not enough in today's environment.
How will the banks adjust, or can they?
I think that banks are already starting to adjust. I think that they're you know, you've seen you know, a lot of the banks that I've seen have really kind of stripped down into basics. They're trying to sell other products, insurance products, other things that they're going to do because their loan business has been decimated over the last few years. But I do think their loan business will come back. I think it's going to come back at probably third or fourth quarter this year. I think things are going to start to pick up again. You'll see a little bit of a push, but yeah, I mean, ultimately, banks are, you know, if they don't have other products besides loans, if they don't have anything else, they're just sitting on cash. And what can they really offer to a consumer today? And that's sort of the big issue. I mean, we've had a lot of people that go to the banks and try to send us money, and the banks, they lose their minds because you know, there's so much money moving out of the banks into other assets at this point. It doesn't really feel like the banks are as important as they used to be. But there are banks, you know, money management, they're doing insurance, annuities. I mean, they really have to diversify what they're doing. And then I think the loan business will come back, you know, later this year. I think we will see that. I think we'll see, you know, more people looking to start their own businesses. So I think you'll see business loans pick up. You know, 75, 100 basis points at the end of this year, early next year is massive. I think a massive shift down, and I think we'll see a push again. Well, people will start to realize that this is kind of the new norm, that rates are not going to get back to 3% anytime soon or ever. So I think this is going to become kind of the new reality. And we're starting to see it a little bit of real estate where people are just finally selling. They're just saying, you know what, these are the prices, I got to move. So we're starting to see a little bit of movement there. But I think you're going to see rates go down. I think you're going to see, you know, potential where gold and silver, I think gold this year, maybe touching 4,000 could be a number that I wouldn't be surprised to see. But definitely silver breaking 40 is what I anticipate. I think we'll see a silver squeeze this year or a silver push. Could be, you know, could be one of these stock moves where they try to squeeze it, you know, some of these people
Yeah.
out of the market. But I think we're going to see a big push from where the price is today.
If people were to say to you, okay, silver, I'm convinced, Would you tell them silver rounds is the best way to go? What would you
Silver
say?
rounds, kilo bars, 1,000 ounce silver bars, any of those I think are the probably your best bet. Silver Eagle still too expensive. Silver Canadian Maple Leaf still too expensive. And obviously you want to avoid any of these semi-numismatic, these coins that a lot of the companies are pushing out there. You want to be careful. These 1.5 ounce coins, these are all scam. I have a lot of videos where I talk about these scams. And if you can look up some of the my big competitors out there, you'll see if you just go to the BBB and read the reviews, you'll see that people get confused. They sell them a strange coin or they sell them, it's a weird size. So you want to avoid all that stuff. If you want bullion, close to spot, good value, you want a broker that can buy and sell it. So if you need to liquidate it, that's what we focus on.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. I just think people are going to get out of cash. But what does that do to real estate?
Well, it could be good. I mean, at the end of the day, like if more people are willing to invest into real estate and get it out of the banks, it could potentially be a positive. They are talking about a shortage of housing in certain areas. I mean, I think that's always a little bit overblown. But I do think that there will be a push for people to continue to hold and own real estate. I think there's going to be I think there's going to be a market for real estate at the end of this year. I think things are picking up a little bit. I've heard some more positive things and some of it negative. So there's foreclosures, there's opportunities. So people that have liquidity, that have the availability to cash, are going to pick up things at good prices. At the end of the day, the one thing with real estate that's true is that the cost to build, rebuild, start construction is not going down. It's only going to go up. So that means that the value of the real estate will go up over time if the cost of rebuild goes up. So that's the one thing that you always sort of have in your back pocket, like your house. They can't rebuild your house for what you paid for it, right? It's impossible. They would never be able to do that. If you paid, $300, $400, $500 a foot, it's never going back to that. It's going to go to $700 a foot or 800 or 1,000. The costs are just going to go up. Lumber goes up, labor goes up, all those things. So you're sort of protected in that way, and that the cost to rebuild your structure is going to significantly go up over time. So I think there's some safety in that.
There was something that the Treasury Secretary said, and it concerned me. He said, "We're going to build the economy based on collateralization of what our country owns." I took that to be a Janet Yellen comment for a tax on unrealized income.
Oh geez, yeah. That is concerning. Yeah, I would be concerned about that too. I hope that's not the intent behind that comment. They've floated that idea around many times, many different ways. They were going to tax your stocks, they were going to tax your wealth, even if you didn't sell it. I have a hard time believing that they're going to be able to get in any of that passed. It just doesn't seem likely, especially President Trump is a proponent of the stock market. I think that would be devastating for him. And at the end of the day, with real estate, you're already paying tax. Most states have property tax. Not all do, but or actually, almost every state has property tax. Not all have state tax. At the end of the day, you're paying it. I know they talked about there was one thing they talked about getting rid of, property taxes. I have a hard time believing that that's going to happen because a lot of states that don't have state tax, they have much higher property tax. They have to make up some of the income somewhere. So, but yeah, I think, we're going to see more of this talk. I'm still haven't heard anything about doing the audit at Fort Knox. So I don't know if that's going to ever happen. There was a big push for that. But yeah, we're close to $37 trillion in debt. I think physical investments are going to be great. And yeah, Dave, just a few things too. We redid our gold and silver guide. So for anyone that's gotten our gold and silver guide and they want an update, we've redone that. I have my book, Silver's a New Oil, still sitting in the top 40 on Amazon for
Awesome.
commodities. So that's been great. Anyone that's looking to dive into silver, I'm the only book on the top 50 that just talks about silver. So if you want to learn about silver, definitely check out my book on Amazon or give us a call. But yeah, if you're looking for new materials, we also have a platinum guide. We obviously have a silver guide. Give us a call. We have some new materials. I'd love to send this free information out to you and hopefully help educate you on what we do at Noble Gold.
That's awesome. They can go to noblegoldinvestments.com or call 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. I should mention, I've been a customer of Noble Gold 7.5 going on 8 years, multiple times over, with both gold and silver. And my wife and I had this discussion the other night. We see what's happening with the dollar. We're going to double down on gold and silver.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. It's a great time. We're happy to help anyone. And I say this, we're a company that's built on relationships. We've been doing this a lot. I've been doing it 16 years. So, we know what we're doing in this space. If you talk to another dealer, you got some information or it sounded too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, exactly.
So be careful. But give us a call and just give us a shot to compare
Yeah,
prices and strategy.
the one outstanding thing that I've experienced as a customer is that I literally have to close my own deal. No one pushes me to do anything.
Correct.
They'll answer all my questions. I deal with Hope quite a bit. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And I can ask her any question. She'll take all the time I need, but I have never been pushed to close a deal,
Yeah. Yeah.
ever.
We want you to make sure that it's the right decision at the right time because it's a long-term relationship. You're going to hold that gold and silver. We're going to store it or whatever's going to happen. So we want to make sure that you have all your questions answered and it's a fully matured decision. And you can only make that information, that decision with data. Anyone, we obviously have some promotions. Make sure that you mention you heard us on Dave's show. But give us a call. We'd love to help. Love to get you educated. And as always, Dave, it's great to be on. Good to
Yeah,
see you.
same here. It's
Yeah,
great,
we'll talk.
man. That was some pretty heavy stuff we went through today. Again, people, that number is 877-646-5347. Best company I've dealt with, in all the advertisements I've done through the years, most professional, most reliable company I've ever dealt with. And the market is the future. Colin, thanks for joining us. Good
Thanks, Dave.
stuff.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. And we have a terrific sponsor, collagen. You don't have it, you age like crazy. And by the time you've reached middle age, well, you've lost over half your collagen. Now, collagen replacement products are a dime a dozen. They don't work real well. This one does. It's from BioTrust. Research the heck out of it. New research out says just your skin elasticity. Great increase in it. 17%. Can you believe that? That's wrinkles, people. And then your joints, right? Your muscles, your nails, your hair. It's terrific stuff. I swear by this product right here. It's powder. You put it into your drink, stir it up. It's odorless, tasteless. Here's the best part. It's guaranteed. You don't think it's working for you, and I don't think that's going to be the case, but you get 60 days to get your money back. 53% off. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. Well, you heard yesterday I did a really interesting interview with Joshua Ballard, the CEO of a rare earth minerals company, I believe the biggest in the United States. And we talked about how China really controls the rare earth minerals. And if we didn't have them, we'd be in big trouble. And I asked Josh, I said, how long until we reach equality and we can separate from China? He said, over a decade.
Whoa.
Now, the Chinese say they want to work things out. Trump is trying to be very, very agreeable. He's pushed the tariffs back, but he's not going to allow this billion-dollar trade imbalance. But he's pushed it back. He's given the Chinese every chance. He knows their economy's collapsing. And I think Trump is actually trying to help them. But when you look at that and you're saying, okay, could we reach a trade agreement? I believe we could. And the rare earth minerals part of it is huge. But if China, on one hand, is trying to make amends and work with the United States economically, why, on the other hand, would they do absolute terrorism to the United States? We have an update on the agro-terrorism case Federal documents have been filed now from discovery in federal court, and I've got a chance to examine those documents, and it's much worse than what I thought. And if there was any doubt that there was deliberate intent to harm America through tampering with agricultural products, this report will remove any doubt. And the Chinese remind me of a juvenile delinquent. The Chinese government, juvenile delinquent that can't get out of their own way despite the fact people are trying to help them. This is just unbelievable. Okay, let's go through this. Young King Jian, 33 years old, brilliant researcher, member of the Communist Chinese Party, and they found on her phone, and this was produced in court, she's sworn allegiance to the CCP. Why then is she being allowed to engage in sensitive research that could really compromise the food security of the United States? And this research is being done at the University of Michigan. She admitted on there to her boyfriend, Zeng Yang Liao, age 34, that she had smuggled in a substance. Now, there are two substances here that I want to point out. One, Firium granarium, and then Firium oxysporum. Okay, now here's the deal. If it's oxysporum, you kill the plant, you kill the crop. It just doesn't produce. That's bad enough. But with granarium, that's a whole different matter. It sequentially destroys the plant, but when humans consume, and they would, because the destruction is not immediate or complete, then people will have things like central nervous system damage. It has a toxic and poisonous effect on human beings. Guess which one these two Chinese researchers were working on at the University of Michigan? Granarium. The intent is not just to damage our crops. That's bad enough. That's worth 20 years. Now they're trying to harm Americans. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you want to have a trade agreement, you want to enter into a mutually beneficial situation for China and the United States, and you're trying to poison America through contaminating the food supply? There's a proposal out there right now to, deport 300,000 Chinese students in our universities. This is the poster child case. I don't know that I'm totally in favor of that because I think there's some Chinese people who are here really to learn. They hate the CCP. They appreciate being in America. Their research and work is above board. There are those people. How far can we go in taking that chance? I think on a case-by-case basis, these people should be evaluated and appropriate action, as in the case of young King Jian. She's being prosecuted. Zeng Yang Liao was deported. I think he should have been prosecuted. But it was the Biden people that deported him. If it were Trump, he'd be standing trial. This is absolutely incredible that they smuggled this stuff in their shoes, the soles of their shoes. They knew what they were doing, and they were trying to harm Americans, not just damage the food supply. There was a case, an episode in the show The Americans with Russian spies living in America as Americans living amongst us, where this same scenario played out. I don't know that it was granarium and oxysporum, but the same idea played out in this show. I'm thinking, boy, how amazingly accurate was that episode as to what could be coming from our enemies? What is Trump going to do with these 300,000 Chinese students? Well, I think that remains to be seen. Chinese are never easy to get along with, are they? Ever. And we could have such a beneficial relationship with trade and commerce, but they are so intent on overtaking us. This clouds everything they do. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. TheCommonSenseShow.com is where you go. You click on the newsletter link, put in your email, and we'll send you out a recapitulation of everything that we do by email every 24 hours. It comes late afternoon, early evening, depending on your time zone, and people love it. When we have a glitch like we did recently, oh, people come out of the woodwork. It works well. And people like it, you will too. And best of all, it's free. Chinese spy infiltrates the highest levels of New York state government. This is unacceptable. We're going to break it down for you right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the second Chinese spy story of this segment. This is unacceptable under any circumstances. This is unacceptable. And yet it's happened. It's happened. We're going to break it down for you here. We are brought to you by Ageless Multicollagen from BioTrust. Do you know that when you buy one of these, this company is so concerned about the welfare of our society? They donate a free meal to a kid that's hungry. Let me tell you about the product. It's collagen replacement. If you don't know what collagen does for you, it's your elixir of youth, and you've lost half of it by the time you're middle age. And how do you handle it? How do you handle it? Well, you age. Collagen runs out, or you can find a collagen replacement, but most of those don't work. This does work. Five types of collagen blended into one, crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it's your own fountain of youth. Hair stops falling out like it was. Wrinkles aren't forming like they were. Elasticity in the muscles, scientific research to prove it. Lots of support to help you on your journey back to youth and health in terms of diet, food advice. It's fantastic. Now, say, Dave, I want to be guaranteed it works. 60-day money-back guarantee, more than enough time. 53% off. Go to healthwithdave.com to restore your youth. That's healthwithdave.com. Linda's son, she's not only a spy, she's a thief. But who I blame for this? Cuomo, when he was governor, and Hochul, the present governor. This is unacceptable. Communist CCP member comes here at the age of five. Talk about planting a spy to raise. It reminds me of the show The Americans on USA Network. This is amazing. She came here at five, naturalized citizen, but a member of the CCP as it's come out. And charges that have been filed in federal district court emphasize that point. She was high up in chain of command. She was at one time the head of DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. She then had some chief of staff duties for both Cuomo and Hochul. And she was spying for China. And she had infiltrated and had influence on New York State government, one of our most important states in the country. We just went through a spy scandal, which charges have been filed, that was an attempt to destroy our food supply and to harm Americans. And now we have this. This reminds me of when the late Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, it turned out that her driver of over 20 years was a Chinese spy. They are everywhere, people. The CCP has totally infiltrated every level, every level. They have huge influence in Congress. We're seeing this spy scandal in New York. We saw the agro-terrorism scandal coming out of the University of Michigan. And this is the tip of the iceberg. We finally have an administration that gives a darn about the health, wealth, security, welfare of America. And they're looking for these things and they're finding them. Previous administration appears to me could have cared less, and it was just business as usual, just ignore it. Hochul was happy. By the way, too, let me tell you what else Linda Sin done. Remember the PPE funds, right? money by the federal government allocated to help states deal with the COVID crisis. Do you remember that? She was stealing that money. People that would have lost jobs, people who might have been really sick and confined to their home. She was stealing PPE funds. It doesn't get much lower than that. Unbelievable. Anyway, she would do things like, let's talk about her spy activities for a minute. She would block Taiwan officials from being able to meet with New York State officials like former Governor Cuomo and present Governor Hochul. She attempted to block those meetings. Why? Because China wants Taiwan and they want no credibility. Taiwan trying to establish relationship with the New York State government to do business. Do you know where those people ended up going? In my home state of Arizona, about 30, 35 miles from me, out in a remote region north of metropolitan Phoenix, a huge, and I mean huge chip plant, I say huge, size of it, plus you see hundreds of cars, and this happened almost like overnight. The Taiwanese took their chip plant there. They wanted to take it to New York. This woman blocked that. There's a benefit to my state, huge employer, good boost to our state economy, but it wasn't right. It was not right. How many spies do we have like this person at top levels? This is scary. The level of spying coming out right now, no wonder Trump is looking at revoking the visas of 300,000 Chinese students. I have mixed feelings on that, but I do agree there needs to be an investigation. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here in the next segment. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Check out our TV show and our ever popular growing series called Hips Hiding in Plain Sight, where we bring in the unusual, the fun, the exciting. I love science fiction. I love quantum physics, psychology, hidden history, repressed technology. We love it all and we have fun with it. But we also have our geopolitics and we have our interviews. The commonsenseshow.tv is where you want to go to sign up. All right, here we go on a very disturbing story. And, people have been talking about civil war is coming in America. I basically dismiss that, but I'm going to tell you why I might be reconsidering my opinion. We're brought to you by BioTrust, an ageless multi-collagen. This is a fantastic product that's going to restore your youth. By the time you've reached middle age, you have lost half your collagen. Hair's fallen out, wrinkles form, joints hurt, muscle elasticity is not there like it was. This product restores all of that because it works. And you say, well, how do I know it works? 60-day money-back guarantee, more than enough time to tell if it's going to work for you. 53% off. And there's all kinds of nice supplemental events. Yeah. Well, what do you get? Well, you get guides for fitness, the foods to eat. It's really, these people are fantastic in how they take care of their customers. And here's one thing I really respect. For every sale they have of this product, they donate in your name a meal to a hungry kid. Is that awesome? Go to healthwithdave.com. Get started. Healthwithdave.com. I am so distressed over this. The men and women who put on uniforms, whether it's ICE or police or deputies in a sheriff's department, they go to work every single day and risk their lives. We just had a guy in Apache Junction, an officer, random shot, hit in the face, died 4 days later. These guys take enormous risks. And for them to be targeted for no other than their official roles, which are legal and constitutional, they were targeted at the Prairie View Detention Center in North Texas, near the town of Alvarado. ICE agents and local police were targeted for murder. That's not too strong a term. There were two ICE agents that went out unarmed and confronted vandals. They were drawn into a trap. Fortunately, an Alvarado police officer pulls up, gets out. He's armed. He got shot in the neck. For what? For responding to a call of vandalism? And this man's life almost ended. That's someone's husband. That's someone's father. Now, fortunately, he's going to recover. But the ICE agents were targeted. Now, very quickly, over 70 police officers came to the scene and restored order. But these people were setting up an ambush. They had weapons. They fired their guns. They tried to lure ICE agents into a trap. They even carried their cell phones in Faraday bags to disguise where their locations were so they couldn't be tracked by law enforcement. I gotta tell you, hey guys, the technology's gone beyond that. But anyway, as it is, I watched a press conference with the acting attorney of the Northern District in Texas, 30-year prosecutor. She did a good job. She said, "We're not going to tolerate this. These people are facing 20 years to life. That's fine with me. And anyone who helped them and obstructed justice are facing up to 10 years." But here's my concern beyond the event. And thank goodness the officer's going to survive and the other officers that were there were not harmed. But I'm worried that this is an orchestrated event. 10 people were arrested. They're looking for the 11th suspect. So this isn't the actions of a lone nut assassin. This is a coordinated, concentrated effort to murder ICE agents and any police officers who get in the way. There's no other way to describe it. In fact, that's actually the terms used in the press conference, the press conference conducted by the Northern District Attorney I mentioned, as well as the special agent in charge from Dallas, and that's from the FBI. But I'm worried that this is going to go from this local incident, since it seems to be very well organized. Is this going to be a national trend? Could this be the spark that leads to mass civil insurrection culminating in a civil war? This is often how civil wars start. I taught history for a lot of years, and I did not think civil war was possible at this time in this country. Yeah, civil disobedience, civil insurrection, some violence, yes. But when you have this much of an orchestrated activity directed at a federal facility and a local police officer is shot in the neck for merely responding to a call, are you concerned too? I am. And here on the Common Sense Show, we throw our support behind law enforcement when they constitutionally and legally carry out their duties. And we need to have maximum punishment prescribed by law for the people that put their lives in danger. We can't tolerate this. If these law enforcement officials aren't safe, then none of us are safe. None of us. I'm Dave Hodges, deeply disturbed by these events. I pray for peace for our country, a semblance of order, and I just hope we've seen the last of it. I fear we haven't, but God works miracles. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We will see you back here again next time.